Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, earned a BS in biology from Elizabethtown College and an MBA in business administration from Duke. For 10 years, she was a vice president in Goldman Sachs' investment banking division. And from 1997 to 2016, she was the CFO and then the vice chairman of Taubman Centers. She's also involved with World Vision, Our Daughters International, Care House of Oakland County, and the Joseph Project. But most of all, she's a mom. Her name, Lisa Payne. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Rasula, and we're with Lisa Payne, who was with the Taubman Centers Company for a number of years, was their CFO and this vice chairman. Lisa, welcome. A real honor to have you.
It's an honor to be here, Jack.
Can we start by you leading us in an opening prayer tonight?
I would love to, Jack. Thank you. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, our Creator and our Lord, I just pray that tonight, as Jack and I have a conversation, that your words are spoken through me and through Jack, that we sing your blessings and we say your blessings over everybody on this evening before Mother's Day, and just bless every mother who's listening. And in your name, I pray, amen.
Can we start, Lisa, by talking about your childhood and your mom and your dad, please?
Happy to. They're my heroes. I was raised in Lancaster, PA, in a kind of a small town, a very conservative town, and neither my mom or dad went to college. My father, I would say, is one of the most well-read men I know. He actually has been a Sunday school teacher. He's 84 and still teaching Sunday school for adults, I must say. So adult Sunday school. And I call him my biblical scholar because he reads biblical archaeology for fun every month. And so he is just a real man of faith. So I have two siblings, an older brother and a younger sister. My brother and I were the first generation to go to college, and my parents were super supportive of that. And we are still a really close family. I'm kind of the gatherer of the family and try to get us together with my nieces and nephews a couple of times each year, and feel just blessed to have been in a what I call just a loving, you know, no family's perfect, but just a real supportive. My father was like, you can do anything you put your mind to it with hard work. So feel very blessed with my family.
What's the biggest thing you learned from mom? And what's the biggest thing you learned from dad?
So my mother, she's 84 now. She was my adventurer. My mother started skiing. I can remember when I was 10, she had never done anything like it, but she was determined and we went skiing. My mother read about backpacking in a magazine one time and our whole family went on backpacking trips. I hated every minute of it. Now, by the way, I love hiking. But so my mother just taught me that you just have to go for it and have an adventure, some spirit, and try new things. My father taught me gratitude and generosity. My father was a businessman, small businessman. He worked and led a watch dial factory making watch dials and no longer in business. But he tithed, which means 10% of his income. And I don't think my dad ever made more than $70,000 a year. But the first 10% went to the church. And he supported missionaries. And he was also super grateful for relationships and family. So those were the things they taught me.
What were your dreams and goals growing up?
So that's an interesting question. And I have said this to when I've spoken with young women or even just young people at how your goals can change over time. So I actually wasn't planning to go to college. I wanted to, I had a boyfriend and I thought I was going to get married. I was a very, very good typist. I could type 100 words a minute when I was kind of 16. And I had a really good summer job. I loved work. I've always loved to work. But when I was a senior in high school, I was doing very well in school. And I just kind of, my eyes opened and I said, oh my gosh, there's so much in the world. And I decided to go to college. And that one decision, which is obviously a good one, opened my eyes to eternal opportunities. And I very quickly became focused on a career. And frankly, I came very focused on financial security. I was very driven at that time to be self-sufficient and to earn my living. I didn't have parents that were going to support me. They were very supportive, but not financially, were not able. And so I quickly became very focused on a successful career.
And you got a biology degree from Elizabethtown College, and then you go to Duke to get an MBA in business administration. Duke, Lisa, has this aura, a uniqueness. It's just, you either love it or hate it, I guess, but it's special. Why so?
Well, first of all, I was at Elizabethtown and was pre-med. Again, this tells you, all you young people who feel like you need to know what you want to do when you're 18. And I figured out when I was a senior at Elizabethtown that I wasn't going to be able to afford medical school. And I took an accounting class and said, oh, this is pretty, I like this. It's black and white and it's, you know, numbers. And so I quickly decided I needed to go get an MBA. And Duke, frankly, gave me a full ride to get my business degree straight after undergrad, which wouldn't happen today, probably. I'm not sure. Sometimes I wonder if I could get into Duke today. But, and I would say, what Duke brings, first of all, it is an extraordinarily beautiful campus. And I am attracted to beauty. My daughters went to Cranbrook. Why? You know, it's a great school, but I just thought when I came to Michigan, I could give them this beauty. So I feel like you're surrounded by beauty and history. So much history there. And I really do believe that they do a great job. Obviously, their education's strong as well.
We're talking to Lisa Payne. When we come back, we're going to ask her about her 10 years with a company called Goldman Sachs, which has quite an aura as well. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Rasula, and we're with Lisa Payne, who from 1987 to 1996 was a vice president in Goldman Sachs investment banking division. What does somebody do in an investment banking division, and why does Goldman have this magical reputation, Lisa?
Well, I felt super honored, and it was just an amazing decade working there. Investment banking is the side of Goldman that advises companies on capital raising, whether that's initial public offerings, debt offerings, mergers and acquisitions. We're kind of the, you know, call it a consultant to companies on how they should raise capital. There's a whole sales and trading side of Goldman, and that is the other, that's a different, you know, capability. And I think we were more advisory people, which is more my mentality. What I think Goldman, and I think Goldman, you know, has changed a lot because it's gotten bigger and it's public. When I was there, it was a private partnership. And we had a saying, and I think we lived it every day, which is, Goldman Sachs is long-term greedy. So it was absolutely there to make money, but it was there to be long-term focused with our customers and our clients. So for example, when I was there, Goldman would never represent a hostile takeover. They represented companies, they would defend companies because they were really focused on their clients. It also, I think, unlike most investment banking firms, had a culture of collaboration. You were paid based on the firm's profits, not your individual ones. So what I learned there was culture. Company culture is incredibly important, and you have to live it from the very top of the firm. And when I was there, I feel like the values that I learned in being a self-starter, being collaborative and really focused on teamwork and accountability, I carried forward when I moved to Taubman.
All right. You said you moved to Taubman. That was in 1997. You were there for 20 years. Tell us about Taubman Centers, Inc.
Well, I have to start by saying the best thing about Taubman Centers was the partnership that I had with Bobby and Billy Taubman. I came to Taubman at the age of 38. I was a CFO. I think it shocked a lot of people that Bobby brought in a woman, which is interesting because I think Bobby, surrounded himself with strong women. When we would have earnings call, when we would prep for our earnings call, everybody in the room was a woman. So he really mentored and valued strong women. And when he brought me in, it was very much it had recently gone public, was very family oriented, which was very good in many ways. But I think there was a lack of accountability and understanding that as a public company, we have to like earn our way. And I really helped and partnered and feel proud of the way we changed the company in a gradual way to a very shareholder focused, accountability based company to make sure we were balanced in our ways of profitability, but just focused on shareholder value. I have to say it was an amazing 20 years.
Speaking of amazing, the late great L. Taubman, please.
Yes. Another honor that I had was getting to know Alfred. And it was always an interesting dynamic, to be honest, because Bobby and Billy, Bobby was my boss, Billy was my partner, equal. And Alfred, who was really not part of the company anymore, except as a founder and a presence every day, he had an office there, would many months come into town and ask me to lunch to check up on Billy and Bobby. And that was always kind of an interesting dynamic. As we sat at Capitol Grill, Alfred would just want to know kind of what was happening and how are the boys. He cared so much about that company, and he would come to our Christmas parties and the whole company would just, look up to him. I would say the other thing that I honestly valued in Alfred was his generosity. Generosity is a big thing to me, and he walked the talk. I mean, obviously he had a lot of money, but I know people with a lot of money who are not as generous as Alfred Taubman. And he found things, and I think this made the big difference. He found things he was passionate about, like medicine and medical discoveries, and he poured into it. And that was a great lesson for me.
You're currently on the board of directors of Masco, Rockwell Automation, JCPenney's. Talk to us about the value of having women on corporate boards, please.
Yeah, I think, there's been a lot of things written about it. I think in fairness, most companies are on it, or value it, and especially New York Stock Exchange companies, investors have focused on it. And I think there's a solid reason, but I think I extend it to just great diversity, whether it's gender diversity, ethnic diversity, experience diversity. Boards need to have marketing people, CFOs, CEOs. It's diversity of thought and diversity of decision making. And women have, different experiences, different thinking, et cetera. So I think it's just part of the whole diversity focus of boards that have come a long way in the last 20 years.
People loved Alfred Taubman. At Masco Corporation, there's, almost they could be brothers, Richard Manoogian. Very giving, right?
Mm-hmm.
Talk to us about Richard Manoogian, please.
Yeah, I feel beyond honored and blessed to have gotten to know Richard. He and I also, so as you know, he was CEO of Masco and is still on our board. And so I see him at least four or five times a year there. He and I are also on the board of the Henry Ford Museum of Innovation, led by Patricia Meradian. And that has been a blessing as well. Richard, again, has spent his life giving to Detroit and giving to our community in a way that I think is kind of unparalleled. And even today, that man wakes up reading four newspapers a morning before, and maybe more, I'm sorry, Richard, if you're listening, by 9 o'clock. And so his just ability to advise and counsel in an unthreatening way to Keith Allman, who's CEO of Masco, or to Patricia, or to others, is really a role model for all of us.
One more man that's really helped you and you think the world of, Steve Andrews, co-founder, Kensington Church, please.
Yeah, in my spiritual growth, which clearly has happened over really more, I mean, I was raised very, as I said, a Christian family, but really drifted quite a bit in college, as many do. I mean, I'd always say I was a Christian, but I really believed more because my dad did. And then I started, as I had children, to say, I've got to really make sure I know why and what I believe in. And I walked into Kensington Church about 12 years ago, I guess, and was just blown away by the impact that church had. And Steve Andrews, I went on a trip to Israel with my dad. It was my father and myself. And that's when I really got to know Steve. The humility of the man who took a church from the basement of a house to what, at Easter service 2 weeks ago, Kensington had 40,000 iPads or whatever you call, iPads and computers listening in to Easter service. And that was like, that's like 27 years later, is astounding to me. And just basically demonstrates that Steve Andrews followed God's direction and the impact he's had in our community, not him, the way he's allowed God to have an impact in our community is just, I'm just so thankful to know him.
Anybody that's listening to Lisa Payne tonight says, wow, this is a special lady and an accomplished lady. But by own words, most of all, she's a mom. When we come back, we're going to talk about being a mom. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. This is Anything is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Krasula. And President Woodrow Wilson in 1914 proclaimed that Mother's Day would be a national holiday and it would be observed and held each year on the second Sunday of May, being tomorrow. And Webster's Dictionary, if you look up the definition of mother, it says a woman who conceives, gives birth to, or raises and nurtures a child. That's not really fair. Lisa, what's a mom?
Well, first, I want to thank President Wilson for creating this special day, because I know I speak for all moms. And sometimes, you know, we can be alone on Mother's Day, but we still know our children love us. So, you know, when I think about a mom, what the first word that comes to my mind is superhero, a superhero. The second word that comes to my mind is an imperfect superhero. And why do I say that? Because sometimes I think there's an amazing amount of pressure to be the perfect mom. And I think that is so dead wrong, because first of all, none of us are perfect. And so, yes, we are going to be imperfect. But what does a superhero do? They fight back. They get knocked down and they come back. They may not be loved, but they love more. They have to have super energy, because not only do we have to kind of have dinner or have, no, we have to feed the family. We have to support the family. We have to help educate. We have to mentor. We have to, I mean, it's literally being what I would define as a superhero.
Tell us about a mother's love, Lisa Payne.
You know, when I think of love and I think of a mother's love, I love to go to scripture. And I do that often because I'm always amazed at this book called the Bible. And it's a book that, you know, many people have said, you know, will go out of existence or what, you know, won't, does it ever really matter today? Does it impact us today? And every time I go to the scripture, I'm just amazed at how relevant it is. And so when I think of a mother's love, I turn to 1 Corinthians 13, and it's the fourth verse. And I could start with, a mother's love is patient and kind. A mother's love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wrong. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up. Mother's love never loses faith. It's always hopeful and endures through every circumstance. That is the perfect mother's love. We're not always perfect, but that's the mother's love.
That was Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4 to 7. If there's a young career woman tonight who's weighing this great life she has with her career, weekend trips, clothes, fun, and then the other side of being a mom, and is afraid to be a mom, what do you say to that young woman?
I start by saying, that was me. That was me in my 20s and my early 30s. I was loving my work at Goldman Sachs. I felt very much like I was kind of at the peak. I lived in New York City. And I really thought, you know what, I don't think I'm going to do the kid thing. And for me, I started in my 30s kind of going, so this is what I'm going to do. And I'm just going to keep doing this. And I'm going to wake up someday and it's going to be just me. It just started to feel very self-centered. And so I ended up having children late. I had my daughter Katie when I was 38 and Margaret when I was almost 40. And that, I mean, do I suggest that to people? No, but it worked for me. And I would just say that with all of the success I have had in business and the experience, forget even success, the experiences I've had in business and the self-worth that came from it, none of it compares to having that little baby in my arms, knowing that I was going to be involved in bringing up a productive, loving, you know, part of this world. And it was just no comparison.
The whole world will mock you. It will mock you. It will cheat you. It'll write you off, everything. But your mom will always be there for you. Lisa, why is that?
You know, I think it starts with that, you know, giving birth in that hospital room and knowing, well, actually I'd start before that. It starts with those little kicks when that baby's in your womb and you just get this unbelievable. I can feel it just now saying, oh my goodness. You know, it is God's unbelievable miracle. And I always say, I know there are a lot of people who don't believe in God. I can't believe when you have a baby in your womb and you see the birth that you don't understand what our creator has. And I think because of that, it's that mother's love. It's part of you. And again, I don't want to express that all this is perfection, but you just know that whether it's a boy or a girl, as they're growing up, that you are their backstop, that you on this earth, you and the dad, and I don't want to underestimate dads, by the way, we'll probably get to that. But as parents, you are their backstop and you are going to be there for them when no one else may be there for them.
Speaking of dads, what do you say to husbands and dads tonight?
Well, probably my saddest part of my life is I am divorced, and I've been divorced a long time. But you know, one of the things I love about going to Kensington is seeing these young families. I go to the Birmingham campus, and it's a big family campus. And what I think I've gained and learned even more recently is that what I see in these families is that the dad is what I would call the spiritual rock. It's like, you know, if you get your relationship with God right and you prioritize that relationship, that you, you know, you follow the rule, the values, and you put God first, everything else is going to follow strongly as well. And I'd also say partnering with your wife and as a family, really thinking through the family values you're going to espouse and then living them, and really communicating. I think it's so easy as husbands and wives to get busy and to like not have that communication. And I think as the husband, leading that communication is incredibly important.
As the late, great Alfred Taubman taught all of us to give back, Lisa Payne has four special causes. When we come back, we're going to talk to her about those four causes, four passions. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
Jack Rasula, host of WJR's Anything Is Possible, the weekly radio visit, brings his 15 years of inspirational storytelling to hardcover. With God, anything is possible.
Anything is possible.
15 of Jack's more than 750 tales of defeating odds and achieving the extraordinary. Like Bob Woodruff, whose job covering the war in Iraq nearly cost him his life. And Nick Vujicic, the limbless evangelist who has stunned millions with his message of acceptance and grace. With God, anything is possible. Order now while signed copies are still available at trustinusllc.square.site. That's trustinusllc.square.site. And as Jack says,
make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spohol. I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything Is Possible. We're talking to Lisa Payne, who's involved with World Vision, Our Daughters International, Care House of Oakland County, and the Joseph Project. First, World Vision. Lisa, please.
Yeah, let me say that you'll hear this as we talk about each of these, that it took me a little time, and I learned from Al Taubman to find your passion. And when you find your passion, your generosity will explode because it gives you joy to be generous in those ways. And I found very clearly in this last few years that my passion is for the underserved. And so you're going to hear that theme. And as I thought about the underserved, I looked for an organization that was doing incredible work in the area of extreme poverty. And that was World Vision. I also did want a faith-based organization, but one that doesn't only work for people of faith. So World Vision, it doesn't matter what you believe, they serve the world. They're one of the largest non-government agencies. And I am particularly focused in Kenya with another businesswoman who retired from Microsoft. And we are working on eliminating female genital mutilation in the north part of Kenya, and educating young women and giving them the option to not do early marriage. And I think we have a path forward. I think what I've learned is actually your money goes a long way. There's this feeling like it's never ending and you're never going to conquer extreme poverty. I believe we have the ability in my lifetime to eliminate extreme poverty, which is defined as under $2 a day. And it's dramatically dropped. And we absolutely can do it with the help of organizations like World Vision.
If you want to learn more, www.worldvision.org. All right, second passion, Our Daughters International. Please.
So Kensington does an amazing job of partnering with some global organizations, or actually I should say they call them partners, because usually they're very small. They're people doing God's work in all different countries. I met one of their partners, Ramesh Sapkata. I entertained and did some events at my home, met Ramesh for him and for our daughters. And he said to me, Lisa, I want you to come to Nepal with me to see the what's happening in human trafficking between Nepal and India. I remember it was just after I retired and I was super busy. And I said, oh, Ramesh, I don't even know if it's in my, I can fit it in my calendar, but I looked up at heaven and I said, God, if I'm open that week when they're already going, Steve Andrews was going, I'll go. The only week that I had on my calendar open for the next 3 months was the week that Ramesh and Steve Andrews were going back to Nepal. So I went and I saw what our daughters over there, what they're doing to basically stop the flow of women between Nepal and India. He's at every border station. He's counseling women. He is providing a safe house. He's providing job training. He's providing, I say he, the organization. It's pretty small. I think our budget's under $1.5 million. But the impact that he's having in that those communities and bringing the girls back to reconcile with their families is truly, truly life-giving.
If you want to learn more, www.ourdaughtersinternational.org. And there's 25 million young women throughout the world that are being used in this awful manner. Next, Care House of Oakland County, please.
So a Care House, and then I know we're going to talk about one other, are really my love for our own community. I know a lot of people say, you know, I want to do good work in my community or support organizations in my community. Care House of Oakland County supports or focuses on eliminating child abuse in Oakland County. And let me tell you, it happens in our county. The way I got involved with Care House is, and I won't go into details, but a situation happened at my home, which caused me to find out what the services of Care House provides to children who are abused, either physically or sexually. It happens in all socioeconomic classes, and Care House is an amazing local organization that is also educating, goes into schools, talks to young children about safe distancing, also provides free mental counseling to victims for as long as they need it, free of charge. So it is an amazing, amazing organization in our backyard.
www.carehouse.org. All right. There's a young lawyer in town, Nate Napper. Man, oh man, he's the whole package, right?
Yes, he is. Handsome. I hope you have him on your show, by the way.
We got him. He said he would come on, so he's coming on down the road.
Okay.
He's the whole package. And he started a couple years ago, the Joseph Project. Please.
Yes. So, an interesting story. I actually went one Sunday with another friend to a church in Detroit called Woodside Detroit. And after the service, my friend said, you got to meet this FBI friend of mine. And I walk over and I get introduced to Nate Napper. And again, it's like, I do try to listen or say, okay, God, if there's something you want me to go into, show me like the way. Hit me over the head is sometimes what I say. Because, you know, sometimes I feel like I'm too busy and I'm too distracted or whatever. And so I meet Nate and we spend literally 30 minutes right there standing, talking about what he wanted to do with Joseph Project. I ended up having lunch with him. So Joseph Project is, and it's growing leaps and bounds in what we're doing, but it really started as, providing free legal services to human trafficking survivors in Michigan. So this is right in our backyard. I've learned so much about this talk about epidemic of human trafficking. And many times these women who come out of this life have misdemeanors, felonies, child issues with the courts. And so what the Joseph Project does is partner them with a free legal a lawyer, and they go through the court process. And it has been unbelievable what courts will actually do for these women when they're really supported by good counsel. But we're now expanding into mentoring for these women. We're going to do some policy work. And it's all thanks to this amazing leader, Nate Napper, who's like, I think he's in his early 30s. And he is such a believer and such a man who is filled with love for these unserved women.
Well, he's a believer and a man of love, and you're a believer and a woman of love.
Thank you.
If you want to learn more, www.josephproject.org. As our time winds down together tonight, Lisa, would you lead us in a closing prayer, please?
Yes, would love to, Jack. Dear Heavenly Father, on this night before such an amazing day where we celebrate mothers, I just pray for all mothers. I pray for all mothers of all faiths and all beliefs. I pray that your love is felt by each and every one of them tomorrow and every day. I pray you give each mother strength to do what the work they need to do. I pray you give them wisdom as they raise their children into adulthood and further. And I pray that you lead them with compassion. You introduce your grace into their families, as we are all your children, imperfect, God, but yet made in your image. And finally, dear Lord, I pray for all people. As we are in such unprecedented times, I pray for church leaders who are leading their flock. I pray for government officials who are deciding how we reopen. I pray for healthcare workers, business leaders, big and small, everyday families, students who are home, and in such a time of uncertainty, when our normal, mostly comfortable lives have been shaken up and everything we valued have proved fleeting. I just pray, dear Lord, as only you can do, you make something good out of all of this storm. Bring our nation together under your care, and in all cases, have us show our love to one another. And bless us in your name, I pray. Amen.
Lisa, thanks for sharing your amazing journey. Please keep up the fabulous work.
Thank you, Jack.
Please join us next Saturday. Until then, I'm Jack Krasula. Thanks for listening, and make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spall.
Believe in yourself.